Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
A mom in Philadelphia who ran to the grocery store. This is Philadelphia's Germantown section. Her little boy was asleep in the back seat, made the decision to run into the Save-A-Lot, leaving her car running out there in the parking lot. Her six-year-old son, he had actually had a broken leg, was in a cast, let him sleep in the back seat, runs in just for a second, and in that time, somebody stole the vehicle with her six-year-old in the back of the vehicle. Now, the good news this morning is that Philadelphia police found the vehicle that was stolen. They found it not so far away. Apparently, the person did the right thing, realized there was a child sleeping in the back. They found the vehicle, and as well, the little boy was still sleeping.
So I don't understand. So, first of all, 6 years is too young. Way too young to leave a kid in the car by himself.
Well, how long? Wait, hang on. Before you say that, are we talking like run in? You can see them run out? Or are we talking running into the mall? You know what I mean?
Well, no, this is a Save-A-Lot grocery store.
Okay. Oh, okay. You know then.
Now, are you saying the car was still running?
She left the car running with the keys.
Yeah.
It's a car where the keys are in the ignition.
It's compounding mistakes. Six is too young, in my opinion. But if you're going to leave the six-year-old in there for all of 3.5 minutes, can you at least turn the vehicle off and lock the doors? Yeah. Is that too much to ask?
Yeah.
What is this leaving it running on? We live in this world where people go to red lights and their cars automatically stop now. And these jamokes can't even turn off their car for 3 minutes. And then the robbers, they're so oblivious, they don't even realize the kid's in the back.
Well, the police are, to your point, looking at the surveillance video, reviewing the situation. Mom and the little boy went to special victims unit. It does not appear that in any way the little boy, like I say, it looks like he just, thank God, remained asleep and is unhurt.
Yeah. So did they found the car, or the person who stole the car realized there was a six-year-old in the back and was like, OS, let me
ditch it.
Yes.
He ditched it.
Yeah, the police are saying that the car was still running.
So nobody will turn the vehicle off. Not the mom or the robber.
Yeah, exactly. So, car was still running. Little boy was still asleep. They're investigating. So in these cases, we know that because if you're a carjacker, but then there's a kid in the back, that's a federal kidnapping charge.
Yes.
What part of Philly did this happen in?
Germantown section of Philadelphia. Okay. I didn't even know there was a 24-hour grocery store still in the city of Philadelphia, in the city.
That's hard to believe in its own right, right?
But it's on Pulaski. It's like 5800 block of Pulaski Ave in Germantown.
Okay.
So, but they found the police within 29 minutes. They located the vehicle. I mean, they put out the, like, APB, if you will. And so, thank God.
Here's the thing, too. Like, I feel like my parents may have left me in the car. Probably not
totally.
At six. Probably not at six, mm-hmm. but maybe at six. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember sitting in the front seat at four because now kids need car seats until they're 13 because we've become a helicopter society.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you never think it's going to happen until it does,
right.
You know? And then, oh God.
Have we reached the point where the parent should be charged now with some sort of crime? Child abandonment. I don't know what the law is.
Guys, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
It's not happening if the child's not in the car or the parent's there.
What's the term before the grace of God goes out? You know what I mean?
Like, I'm with you.
I think all the time about, I don't do that. I don't do that. But I think all the time about, maybe not so much anymore, but when he was like younger, I'm just like, oh, I don't want to wake him up, but I have to run in here. You know what I mean? Like,
well, let me ask you this. We charge adults for leaving their dogs in cars, in hot cars, in the summer with the windows up, don't we? Is it any different than leaving your child like
it's
that?
Worse.
Yeah. So why not charge them?
Yeah.
We value pets, I guess, more than kids. I don't know.
I think it's what Greg said. Everybody thinks like, but for the grace of God. I mean, if nobody's injured and that sort of thing, you know what I mean? Then I'm with Greg.
All right, no harm, no foul.
I don't know.
Just keep it moving.
We've all been tempted
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Kale, come on. You've never been tempted to leave.
No,
your...
tempted, but I've never done it.
Well, I've never done it either.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying there's been a few times where I can see the car.
Well, that's the thing. If you can see it, like if you pull up to the Wawa and you park directly in front of the window and you're running in for a coffee real quick, mm-hmm. I mean, but the age too.
Yeah.
Like I'm at the point with my girls, they're going to both be 11 in September. You know, if anybody tries to like steal them out of my truck, I mean, they're going to kick and scream and knock the doors down, bust the windows. I mean, they're high wire acts to begin with, so.
So they're still treating this as a kidnapping. They held the car for Prince. You know, this is an active investigation.
Good. I think it should be.
So we'll continue to follow. Speaking of follow-ups.
Sam brings up a great point on YouTube.
Yes, Sam.
Do they have a description of the suspect who stole the car?
They are not releasing not releasing any video suspect.
No description.
Kind of description, nothing like that.
No, do we know what kind of car it was? Was it a white Nissan?
Kia. Yeah. Hyundai.
I imagine the video will be released. Because they're holding the vehicle. They're not describing her vehicle. They're not describing the individual at all. They did say that 6-year-old boy was in the back seat and that he had a cast and crutches. And it looks like they had been, the reason they were out late, because this happened around midnight, was because they were, had a sports injury, then was in the hospital.
Oh,
like,
for
all
God's
afternoon.
Oh, God.
So she probably was like, she's just coming from the hospital. I got to run to get some milk
mm-hmm.
or something, you know? Because if you've been, you know, we've all been there to the hospital with the kids, and you're there for like 8 hours. So I think they have a lot of empathy for mom here. But we'll continue to investigate. Speaking of investigating, we do have an update on that mass shooting in Fairmount Park Memorial Day.
Do we have a description?
Well,
thank you.
We know that five guns in total were fired.
Good. We know how many guns.
How many guns?
Okay.
So remember, we thought it was three. Now it's five.
Great. And we have a description. Do we have a description of the guns?
Yeah, I suspect to your point, we'll
Uzis.
We'll get the description on the guns
before we get the description of the. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So we do have that from Philadelphia police, killing a 23-year-old, a 21-year-old, injuring 9 others, some who are still hospitalized. And so, remember, that led to Mayor Sherelle Parker, that emotional news conference that she held. Philadelphia School District, a big day for, Thursdays, usually we have Philadelphia City Council, as well the school district, under investigation by federal authorities for our management of asbestos in our aging school buildings. So that meeting, and I mentioned this yesterday in news and was updating it, there was a meeting. It was supposed to be at 4. They moved it to noon. And then for whatever reason, with that resolution that was just added to the board's agenda, the meeting itself, scheduled for 4 p.m. at the last minute, moved to noon to accommodate what we were told was something that was a time-sensitive issue. That was according to the information. Then it was delayed for some unknown reason, pushed off the docket. So this, as the Department of Justice is investigating the district's asbestos management practices, which Philadelphia has admitted. I mean, the one school alone, I reported to you yesterday, $20 million for that mitigation. And they're way behind on all these. They're supposed to be reviewing every single school, hundreds of schools, if they have any risk every 6 months. Otherwise, it's every 2 to 3 years. So we'll wait for that. And then as well, we have learned that the Department of Justice and the government on a federal level looking into and putting Philadelphia as well as our sanctuary counties, Chester County, Delaware County, Montgomery County, not Bucks County, but Philadelphia County as well, because we are a sanctuary city.
Mm-hmm. Could we get a cameo from Tom Homan? Could Tom Homan show up one day with a little ice sting? Maybe bring Christy Nome? Round up some bad hombres?
Well, hey, come on live with us, right?
Yes.
Talk about it. You know, why is Philadelphia on this list? Because it was Mayor Jim Kenney. We all remember when he did the little happy dance in his office. Remember 2016? Yep. Declared us
we're
a sanctuary
city. Remember that? That's exactly what they did. They did. Yeah. They danced around like a couple of. Sorry, I have something in my throat.
Are you all verklempt? And this,
like, oh boy.
Is this as we're learning that there were protests at hours after protest in Philadelphia, a 64-year-old woman was released from ICE custody. So they were holding signs and they were chanting "Free Auntie Lynn," and these were members of the Service Employees International Union calling for her release yesterday, and they said that she's had a green card for some 50 years. Auntie Lynn.
Yes.
Well, Llewellyn Dixon is a lab technician at the University of, actually, Washington. She was detained by immigration and ICE enforcement late February at the Seattle airport. We in Philadelphia, there were protests here and across the country to free this woman. She's been a lawful, they say, permanent resident for 50 years, coming to the U.S. from the Philippines when she was 14 years old, and she is eligible to become a naturalized citizen. She promised her grandfather she would keep her native citizenship. So at the end of the day, they freed Auntie Lynn, and everybody's happy. So we have a happy ICE story.
Have you guys
been detained?
Yeah. Well, aunt or aunt?
Oh.
Aunt or aunt?
Aunt.
Yeah, same
aunt,
here.
Auntie. I know,
Aunt sounds very elitist, auntie. Doesn't it?
I don't know.
My aunt's coming for dinner tonight.
I think it depends. Yeah, it depends on, I don't know.
I always said aunt.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think I said aunt.
Everybody,
auntie,
you know,
auntie,
who called it aunt were the ones that were like, it's not one of those little black things, you know, that you know, like the aunt,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
And as well, just an update on a local story. This as the Immigration and Customs Enforcement case against a co-owner of Jersey Kebab. Remember this story in Haddon Township? This is New Jersey. This one is still unresolved. So as far as Salal Eminet's deportation hearing, that was pushed back another 4 years. So remember, we covered the story when back in February, ICE agents arrested Salal and his wife, Amin Eminet, at their restaurant there in Camden County. He was later released with an ankle monitor while his wife was taken to that detention center in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and then she was released on bond 2 weeks later. So there were rallies, a lot of coverage on this one. Well, they went to court this week, and it's pushed back another 4 years.
Of course.
Here's how I'll resolve it. I'll resolve it in 4 hours. Have them come over here, do a food drop. I'll taste test all that great Middle Eastern food. If I score it 7.5 out of 10 or better, case dismissed, they stay. 7.5 or lower, deported.
Okay. Listen to
4 years.
The Nick Kale policy.
Yes.
I know that we'll headline all of this. By the way, President Trump, 1:30 this afternoon, is holding a news conference with Elon Musk at the White House. There will be a big celebration at 1:30 p.m.
Oh, today's his last
day,
right?
Today's his last day on the job. So the cake, what color will the cake be?
But J.D. Vance said that it's not, like, he's still an advisor,
yes,
or something.
And I think Trump, I retweeted it. He said something to the effect of Elon will always be with us in spirit. We're very appreciative, etc.
And if Elon does physically leave, which he is, we will always have
big balls.
That's right.
So we got that going on. I know we have a lot of Trump news, and you're going to update us. Obviously, we'll have a lot of Trump news. The update on that International Trade Court, their ruling, the appeal, and then a new court ruling. So there's a lot shaking out.
This thing is going to go on forever. I mean, it's just
like a tennis match.
It's going to be months of appeals, and then it's going to be months in front of the Supreme Court, and then we might get a ruling or something. The Supreme Court will say something to the effect of some tariffs are legal, some are not,
yep.
And then it'll be 2026.
And you'll have the female liberal justices ruling against Trump, the male conservative justices ruling in favor of Trump, and then Amy Coney Barrett will just, she'll be the deciding factor. This thing will go 5-4.
And thus, as the Ole always says, the lawyers always win, right? Somebody's making a lot of money.
I don't know. SCOTUS usually wraps up their session, what, early June?
I think.
Late
June.
But they're not.
No summer off for them this year.
They're not going to get this on the docket by then.
I know.
it's going to be, we're talking probably end of the year. Yeah. Probably, maybe.
Why don't we make Congress and SCOTUS work for the month of August?
And then we're going to get into 2026, which is obviously a midterm election year. So nothing will get done that year because everybody will be, vying to be elected. The Democrats will win the House back. Hakeem Jeffries will impeach Trump. We'll do that for 2027. And then,
do you have any 2028 predictions while you're at it?
No, I'm just telling you, this is how it's going to play out. Yeah. This is how everything is going to play out.
All right.
2027 will all be about Trump's impeachment.
I'll see you guys in September of 2028.
Good night, everybody.
See, there are some lawyers, they're buying like a new beach house just because of all these cases, right? Mm-hmm. And I know I didn't realize at the time Beth Ann Rossica was on with us this week, earlier this week, told us about Penn Medicine that they, unlike CHOP, that they've decided to discontinue. That official announcement came down, their treatment of underage children for the gender affirming surgeries. But we here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, actually, thanks to Beth Ann Rossica, broke the story earlier this week.
Wow,
that they were doing
us.
That.
Good for us.
Yeah. So
hooray.
I knew that you'd want to know.
Thank you.
As the boss.
We do. Okay. Because as you, here we go. See what the power of 1210 can do.
you have your own voice on the drop.
Hey, I've got everybody else's voice. Like, am I allowed to have one of my own?
That's weird.
Weird. I got 13 of you.
Why don't just? I didn't ask you to pull them. Nobody asked you to pull them.
I am all about lifting other ships.
No, but
ships.
Can I raise my own vessel one from time to time?
Hang on. Nobody's raised more vessels than I have.
Well.
Seriously.
I don't know where I heard that phrase from.
I'm looking
I really
at you, Stenslin.
Like
I'm looking at you, Kale. I'm looking at you, Zioli.
That's right. Raise my vessel, baby.
Loosen up my buttons while you're at it.
You too, Smirkanish. I'm looking at all of you.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
He's looking at you. We bow to the boss.
Notice how he left Dom out.
Well, Dom's been here.
Like,
Dom's been on the radio since I've been 7 years old.
Dom is omnipresent.
I'm like, you didn't create me.
By the way, Phillies split that doubleheader with the Braves, but unfortunately without Bryce Harper with that still, do they punish or like, I don't know, hurt somebody when they hurt one of our top players?
No, because our franchise is spineless, so they don't believe in retaliation.
Spanking machine. At least a spanking machine.
Yeah. For God's sake.
Retaliation.
I would have drilled Ronald Acuna right between the one and the two or whatever his jersey number is.
Amen. So split wins. I know that we won the afternoon game 5-4, lost the first one. We are sponsored by First Harvest Credit Union. Save more, spend with purpose. When you open a First Harvest Credit Union growth checking account, even as high as 2% annual percentage yield, and while enjoying flexible access to all those funds, visit them. FirstHarvestCU.com/growth. Checking for details. Membership restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA. Thank you, First Harvest Credit Union. It's the rain is holding off for now, but Nick, I know rain in store for this evening and overnight.
That is correct. On 61 degrees, a little bit of rain could be here around 8 o'clock this morning, and then it's going to be cloudy throughout the rest of the afternoon. Rain again in the evening, high of 76 today. I'm not responsible for the rain, as we've established. Saturday, 69 with a few showers. Sunday, 68 and sunny, and then we get mid-80s next week.
Mid-80s.
That's right.
Mid-80s.
Summers are coming.
Yeah. Damn right. Weather brought to you by MTRule.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRule.com. Couple of house notes here. First of all, don't forget, we are back next Friday, live June 6th.
Woohoo!
It is the 1210 WPHT Piazza Pet of the Month.
Yes.
Our partnership with our friends from the Piazza Auto Group and the Brandywine Valley SPCA. We will be out at Piazza Auto with a live broadcast, Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, and we will be there from 6 to noon, Kale and Company 6 to 10. Stop on out. We have Dawn, we have donuts, and we have dogs,
yeah.
As the promo says.
I want to say this. I expect all of you YouTube people, I expect all of yous out there at 6 a.m. Because if we have to be out there, you have to be out there.
Yeah.
So come on out to Mercedes-Benz of Westchester there.
Lisa Ben, say hello, and then Dawn will be doing the doggy stuff from 10 to noon. Or donuts.
Yeah, bring your pets, and then hopefully you can adopt one. Like the little cutesy thing that's if you're not watching on YouTube.
That's right.
You don't see it. So.
What do we have? Oh, yeah, look at that's a German Shepherd. It looks like my sister's German Shepherd.
That beautiful little doggy.
Yeah, those little cute ears.
Beautiful little doggy. Come on out, please. Next Friday, six to noon, we'll be out there.
Yeah. And Lisa bends while you're there.
Wow.
Cheaper than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back. Friday, Big Take is on the way. But first, a word from another big event coming up, and that is Families Behind the Badge. The bike ride is coming up, and we all love first responders. So support the 38th annual Bend to the Shore Bike Tour. It is going to be here 6 weeks from Sunday. It's Sunday, July 20th. And there are tons of options for you to ride. You can ride 65 miles, or we'll trim that down. You can go 30 miles. Or you could be a little fugazi and do 10 miles. 10 miles still counts as well. Doesn't matter where you start, as long as you reach the finish. And that is Atlantic City, where you'll be a part of the family-friendly celebration at the Showboat Hotel. After the ride, you can even register to ride with me and Team 1210. We'd like to have 15 or 20 people on our team this year. So if you do that, that would be great. You can join, you can ride, or you could just donate to support the cause. Visit bend2shore.org. That's bend2shore.org. And when you sign up with the code NICK1210, they'll knock $25 off your registration fee. That's ben2shore.org, promo code NICK1210. Let's remind people and show everybody the way we support law enforcement. Bend to Shore, organized by Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation, a 501c3 that provides immediate financial relief to families of fallen or critically injured first responders, and it connects cops and kids through non-enforcement positive action.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app. The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the Big Take, the American mandate against the Trump resistance. In the first term for Donald Trump, it was hoaxes, it was collusion, it was the swamp concocting ways to derail Donald Trump's MAGA vision. During the Biden presidency, it became lawfare. As soon as Donald Trump said, I'm going to run it back in 2024. Weaponized district attorneys, judges, the DOJ, all in an attempt to rid the outsider and say bye-bye to their nemesis for good. But he emerged victorious. In the second Trump term, now we have lower court judges, and they are hell-bent on opposing 47 at every turn. And nobody voted for these hacks. Many, if not all, are appointed partisan justices who continue to delay, bog down, and clog up the MAGA agenda in hopes of Democrats getting back in the game for 2026. Trump is more popular than ever, so it needs to be derailed, of course. In the latest Rasmussen poll, for the first time ever, Donald Trump, 50% of Americans feel like the nation is heading in the right direction. Real Clear Politics also seeing a swing in the right direction for Trump. In November of 2024, only 26% of America said we were on the right track. Fast forward to the end of May, that number is now 44%. The solution from the swamp? Hack, hack, and hack away. Hack at tariffs, hack at deportations, hack at defunding federal agencies, provide resistance to everything under the sun. Late Wednesday night, as we discussed yesterday, a ruling came down that said Trump had to pause his tariffs on foreign nations. But by early afternoon yesterday, the appeals court overruled that and said the tariffs can continue for now, as we are almost certainly on a collision course to SCOTUS. Peter Ducey of Fox News asked White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt about these judges running interference. Here's the Deuce Man. Listen and watch.
Caroline, so many of the president's plans right now are being blocked by courts. If the courts are going to be the ones who are shaping policy, does the president wish he would have just become a judge instead?
I think the president would take this job over being a judge, and certainly the president is acting within his authority. He wishes judges would do the same.
But so the courts are basically telling you guys they think that the White House's policies, the president's policies, are in some way against the law. So why can't President Trump ask the Republicans that control the House and the Republicans that control the Senate just to make a new law?
Well, these laws have already been granted to the president by the Constitution and by laws that have been previously passed. I'll give you another example. For instance, we've been blocked in court for the revocation of visas.
Judges don't create the law. Laws are created by the legislature, and appointed judges by past Democratic presidents like Obama and Biden do not get to shape America's policy of a current president. The history of Trump and injunctions, even in this second term, runs long. Here was Caroline Leavitt running through just a few. Listen and watch.
For example, a court ordered the Trump administration to return already deported terrorist aliens back to the United States. A court has ruled the Trump administration can't even temporarily pause our refugee programs. Courts prohibited the Trump administration from eliminating federal funding for child transgender surgery and mutilation, a practice that the American people overwhelmingly reject. A court also held that the Trump administration could not ban people experiencing gender dysphoria or mental health issues from serving in the military. Ridiculous. Courts prohibited the removal of transgender women from women's prisons despite potential physical harm to real women in those prisons, biological women. A Northern District of California judge issued an absurd ruling that the president cannot fire people within the executive branch without Congress passing a bill, even though Congress has expressly authorized the president through the Office of Personnel Management to authorize reductions in force across agencies. A court also ordered the Trump administration to rehire thousands of already fired employees in several cases. A federal judge blocked the Trump administration from defunding the Department of Education, another signature campaign promise that this president has the power to implement. Courts ordered the Trump administration could not eliminate funding for illegal DEI programs, hence the word illegal. These are illegal programs to begin with, and now the courts are trying to say this president can't roll them back. And a district court judge prohibited the president from issuing any categorical funding freezes. And then another court ordered on top of that the administration makes $2 billion of payments in 36 hours.
It's unbelievable. Deportations, transgender surgeries, military practices, executive branch terminations, the Department of Education, woke DEI practices and programs, on and on and on. Basically, the only thing Trump can do that he campaigned on was seal the southern border. Everything else, nope, no can do, sorry. Random federal justice in Washington, D.C. says no can do. I mentioned tariffs will continue for now. That was the big development from yesterday. Here's Peter Navarro giving his take as he finds out about the ruling while being live on TV on Fox Business. Listen and watch.
Appeals, Peter,
hang
hold on. You'll want to hear this. It's breaking news. A U.S. appeals court, according to Reuters, has reinstated the Trump tariffs during the appeal. So there is a stay here. This is breaking news.
As we fully expected, because they're wrong on the law on both the fentanyl and the reciprocal, and we can get into that. Here's the issue. This is a suit. Here, you haven't heard this yet. Let me tell you this now. The suit was brought by 12 states, every single one of them, Democrat attorney generals, blue states from Oregon and Washington on the left coast to Connecticut.
Legal scholar Jonathan Turley tweeting the following yesterday. On Wednesday, President Donald Trump's Liberation Day collided with Deliberation Day in the courts, and it did not go well. But all is not lost for Trump's tariffs. Just as Congress needs to be more nimble, so does the president. He can appeal this case while using less controversial means to maintain the tariff pressure on these countries as we work toward these bilateral trade agreements. And also, according to the Wall Street Journal, Trump has other tools at his disposal, according to multiple Wall Street banks. They write, quote, "The tariff levels that we had yesterday are probably going to be the tariff levels that we have tomorrow, because there are so many different authorities the administration can reach into to put it back together." That is according to Michael Zasis, Morgan Stanley's global head of fixed income and thematic research. He told Bloomberg TV yesterday. And then you have Alec Phillips, chief U.S. political economist at Goldman Sachs, who wrote in a note to clients that the ruling, quote, "represents a setback for the administration's tariff plans and increases uncertainty, but might not change the final outcome for most major U.S. trading partners," end quote. And to simplify, for those who might not be tracking this on a daily basis, here's a Cliff Notes version of what has transpired. The trade court on Wednesday ruled that Trump did not have the authority under the 1977 International Emergency Economic Powers Act to impose sweeping reciprocal and retaliatory tariffs. The administration, as we know, we talked about it yesterday, immediately appealed and suggested on Thursday it could go straight to the Supreme Court to seek relief if other courts did not act quickly. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit issued an order Thursday staying the trade court's ruling while it considers motions from both sides. It ordered the plaintiffs in this case to file a response by June 5th and the government to respond by June 9th. So that's where we stand right now on tariffs, and that's where it will remain for about another week to 10 days. And while we wait, the next shoe to drop comes next week as we enter the month of June and we get to the Doge cuts. Will they make it through? Here's Caroline Leavitt reassuring Americans that even though Elon Musk is leaving, Doge will live on. Listen and watch.
Well, the entire cabinet is involved, and yeah, I spoke to the president about it this morning, and the entire cabinet understands the need to cut government waste, fraud, and abuse, and each cabinet secretary at their respective agencies is committed to that. That's why they were working hand-in-hand with Elon Musk, and they'll continue to work with the respective Doge employees who have onboarded as political appointees at all of these agencies. So surely the mission of Doge will continue, and many Doge employees are now political appointees and employees of our government, and the best of my knowledge, all of them intend to stay and continue this important work.
Is there a Doge leader taking the place of Mr. Musk?
Well, again, the Doge leaders are each and every member of the president's cabinet and the president himself, who is wholeheartedly committed to cutting waste, fraud, and abuse from our government. Michael.
Long live Big Balls. And here to the professional downfall of these rogue judges. As the practice of challenging Donald Trump at every turn and bending the knee to blue state attorney generals, left-wing prosecutors who were all just trying to make a name for themselves by being part of the resistance. Tariffs and Doge are two of the four main pieces that Trump's plan to right the economy, in addition to energy, lowering those costs, and reducing the deficit. It's almost as if the rest of these justices that nobody voted for do not want to see economic improvement. And we have fellow Americans in the legal field playing partisan politics. Hopefully, the conservative majority on the Supreme Court sees this for what it is, a continuation of the last 9 years, and puts an end to it. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take, if you want to jump in, 855-839-1210 is the phone number, on X at 1210WPHD. Of course, we will read your comments on the YouTube chat. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHD and hit the like and subscribe buttons. I tried to stay even keeled there, but I got to tell you, Dawn Stensland, I've had it with these judges that nobody has ever heard of, nobody's ever seen, nobody's ever voted for, that are just installed by a president, and then basically they get to be the president's resistance, even though that president is long gone out of office. It's just absurd to me that we can't. And think about this: how many times has a Republican judge, a former Trump-appointed judge, or a Bush-appointed judge run interference to the level that these judges do to Trump, first term or second term? The disparity in injunctions is staggering to me.
Yeah, and so they're spending all this time on these cases. What is not getting through? You know, these are emergency cases. So I want to hear from the people who were supposed to be before these courts that had other maybe serious life issues, and they've been on hold and they've been delayed. How many cases, in other words, this whole situation, A, clogs up the courts. I have no doubt that even though it's checks and balances and everybody says that it's the testing the executive branch, every time they go to court, they go to the higher court. And the president does have the power to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will say it was a Manhattan court, the International Trade Court, as we noted yesterday.
Shocking. Manhattan, you
say. So I don't know. Maybe they should doge some of the court space in Manhattan. Just kidding. As far as, you know, the issue of immigration goes, you know, just thinking about Trump in the headlines and all these courts, you know, ruling against Trump as far as deporting so many individuals. You look through, and it's Barack Obama is still, if you look through the records, he's still the deporter in chief. He still holds the record with the formal removal of about 3 million non-citizens mm-hmm. from the United States of America.
Yep.
So nobody ever had a problem with it. Nobody talks about it. And if Trump in his first term, 1.2 million, still doesn't come close to Bill Clinton's 2 million. George W. Bush had the least amount, 870,000
yeah.
people.
Yeah, and this is all coming after Stephen Miller and Kristi Noem are demanding that ICE, quote, supercharge their deportations. Big headline yesterday from Axios. They want to up it to 3,000 illegal immigrant arrests a day. So they know that they have to, if they're going to succeed in this category specifically, that they need to move at warp speed, basically, which they did. There was a huge raid yesterday right in Mr. Mustard's backyard of Tallahassee, Florida. They showed up at like some construction or landscaping site. ICE agents were tackling people, running people down, throwing them in the dirt. It was beautiful.
Well, and the thing about this is, and that's probably why they put that list out of sanctuary municipalities, Philadelphia, but yep. also are, you know, looking at Chester County, Delaware County, Montgomery County. And if you say, well, it's not really in the headlines, and how do you know, for example, they said they're going to go after people who are in gangs or criminals. The problem here is if the police are not legally allowed to cooperate with ICE and they're not allowed to report who is a citizen or a non-citizen, then how do we all report? You know what I'm saying? We don't even know.
Yeah.
We don't. Heck, we still don't have a description of those individuals from the mass shooting in Fairmount Park. You yep. know what I'm saying? Whether they're into citizens or non-citizens.
Yep.
But, you know, the point is, I think they want this all to be at least transparent so that the community knows. Because every time, remember what happened in New York City? When the police just got fed up after that Mayor Adams at the time, remember that? And they came out and said, oh no, there's no crime among illegals. And then the police just, I think they were so angry, they released the numbers.
Mm-hmm. We have the video of that raid at the Tallahassee construction site. I think this is 11, Phil, if you want to roll this.
Yeah, this was glorious yesterday, right in the state capital of Florida.
You just had it, buddy. You just had it right there.
There it is.
All right.
There's curse words in there.
I'm just curious. Will the on this construction site will the owners or whatever of the you know the people who own this construction company, will they be charged?
And employ these individuals?
Yeah.
It's a great question. Remember when, Dawn, you had that story months ago with the North Philadelphia car wash mm-hmm. that had seven illegal immigrants working there. Do we have any? I don't even remember if you had a follow-up as to whether or not they were charged with anything.
I'm guessing not. I'll look again. I'll call again because the follow-up that we had was that, in fact, it was a situation where it was like a human slavery thing. In other words, people who came to this country, I guess they paid the cartels or whatever, so they owed them like slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
So in that one, the individuals, I think, working at the car wash, the allegation was that they were victims.
Yep. Yep.
You know, that they were freeing people from a human slavery, human trafficking situation. And so to your point, if you hire people like that you're not even paying, you're paying them what, dirt?
Yep.
That is, you should be charged 100%, with participating
but I don't,
in human
I don't,
slavery.
I don't hear that. I see a lot of this. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of, you know, tackling, deporting, yep. arresting, but I'm not hearing a lot of you know, these owners of said car washes and owners of these construction sites, you know, that are being charged. At, you know, they should be.
It's a good point.
And that's I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I think you're making a great point, and we need to say that more.
Mm-hmm.
That it should be a felony charge. It should be some kind of human slavery or trafficking charge that everybody knows. If you hire somebody, think about that. And maybe they're underage and they're human trafficked here. Whatever that is, these guys could have been victims of that.
True.
Well, as a guy who knows a lot of, you know, blue collar, you know, owners of you know, roofing companies and tree companies, stuff like that. These construction companies, they undercut other, you know, like union union shop. Yes, yeah. Because they can pay these guys, you know, $10.
Yes, it's all about lowering your expense
to do this. So they're, you know, they're taking these small businesses and basically putting them out of business because they can undercut anybody.
Yep.
Because they're not paying their people correctly.
Well, and then you have some that come here seasonally for this. I told you the story when I was in Nashville in 2020, right at the beginning of the pandemic when I had to get a job and I was doing landscaping. They were having illegal aliens come here in March at the beginning of landscaping season and then leave in October, and they leave the country and go back home.
Mm-hmm.
They make a killing here. They don't pay taxes. They get paid under the table, and then they go back. They're like... they're like snowbirds. They go to, you know, come back to Florida for the winter months.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, put a bow on the 6 o'clock hour next. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Got to talk about my guys at Marvin E. Cans. Yeah, summer, even though it doesn't feel like summer this week, we're in the 80s next week. Summer right around the corner. Keeping your home cool and efficient, you know that's paramount. And that's why I always have my guys, Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning, out to get our AC unit summer ready. They already did that. Take my advice. Get your AC unit serviced for summertime. Now, if Marvin E. Cans feels that your unit needs to be replaced, they're going to give you an honest assessment at a fair price and install a high-efficiency Trane AC unit, T-R-A-N-E. Hard to stop a train, as they say. MarvinEcans.com, MarvinEkanze.com. Marvin E. Cans, tell Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
For the last 10 days or so, we've been talking a lot on the show about Jake Tapper and the Biden book and his little media tour. Actually, it's not even a little media tour. I've never seen a media blitz for a book like I have seen for Jake Tapper. But you know what? It's not restoring his credibility. How about this headline? Jake Tapper's CNN show hits lowest rating since 2015, despite the Biden book buzz. And here's my thought on this. I'm going to give you the stats here in a second. Americans can live with liars, but they hate hypocrites. And this is not going to restore his credibility.
Yep.
Because he's double dipped. He grifted on one front, and then he's grifting on a second front to make a profit, right?
I said this weeks ago. I was like, he's doing nobody, he's not doing himself any favors.
You're right.
Because he's pissed off his base on CNN because, you know, they view him as a hypocrite or turncoat, and the people on the right can see right through him.
That's
so
right.
He's not winning any fans. Stuck in the middle with you is, you know, is where roadkill is.
That's right. Here are the numbers. The lead with Jake Tapper averaged 525,000 total viewers from April 28th through May 25th, shedding 25% of CNN's audience in the time slot from the same period last year in the process. Remember, he's no longer in the 4 o'clock slot. They bumped him up, I think, to 5 o'clock. By comparison, Fox News is the 5 and Bret Baier's show, 3.3 million viewers on average. Essentially, that's a 6.5-to-1 ratio where the 5 is just trouncing Jake Tapper. He's lost 25% of his audience. And it's not like he went to a spot where nobody knows where he's at. I mean, he moved up 1 hour. I would actually argue 5 p.m. in television, probably better than 4 p.m., right? As far as coveted spot. I mean, I know it's not prime time, 7, 8, 9, or 10, but wouldn't you rather be on at 5 when conceivably more people are in the door from home, at work, from work, right? And then on the ratings front, how about this? Jen Psaki, she and MSNBC, with their new lineup post-Joy Reid, the elevation of the Sockster, they've lost more than 40% of the channel's viewership together. How about this? Jen Psaki has lost 41% of her audience compared to Joy Reid, and her time slot has gone down 26%.
Wow.
Psaki's average viewership of 973,000 was down 46% compared to Rachel Maddow's average, say what you want about her, of 1.82 million for the year in the same 9 p.m. time slot. For reference, Maddow moved back to once a week in May. According to Mediaite, Psaki's average is also down 20% from Alex Wagner, who I still don't know who she is. I keep hearing the name. I don't think I've ever seen her. Maybe we've played her on the cut sheet, but she doesn't say anything that makes her really stand out and differentiate herself from the rest of them. Averaging during the same period in 2024 when Maddow was only hosting on Mondays. Here's my thought on this. I'm going to get everybody's thoughts on this. You could say this is a sexist comment, but I actually believe this is true. Nobody wants to watch angry liberal white women on television berate half of America. Name me one. Yeah. Rachel Maddow is for some reason the only one that cuts through on MSNBC, right? From a ratings standpoint. She had double Psaki, triple Joy Reid's numbers. There's something about these two networks, and I don't know what it is. I know, Dawn, you talk a lot about like the lighting and the technical stuff and the production value. There's just something on these two networks. We talk about the Democrats, right? They're trying to reach men. And by the way, wait until you see who they found that they think they're going to reach men with coming up on the cut sheet. You're not going to generate buzz on your network with milquetoast, generic, vanilla women that are just denigrating straight white men. That's a recipe for disaster, is it not? Like, where's the entertainment value to MSNBC or CNN? You can say what you want about Jesse Waters, Gutfeld, Jimmy Fallon. They are entertainers. They're showmen in a way. That doesn't exist on these two networks.
And yet, The View, I don't know their latest. I know that they had in April, they were up from last year, 2.6 million viewers. So when I don't think it has to do with male, female. I think it has to do with your appeal, your authenticity. And that's what I think.
Does MSNBC have a guy in prime time? Yeah. Or is it all women?
They have Lawrence O'Donnell.
Oh, yeah. Is he still? Okay, is that still technically?
And Chris Hayes.
Yeah, so it's, who you thought was Rachel Maddow.
It's majority men. They have Michael Steele and Simone Sanders at 7.
Okay.
By the way, MSNBC is they said they're going to concentrate on podcasting now. So the first first dip into the podcast realm is the Nicole Wallace podcast.
Oh, that'll be I won't be able to download that thing fast enough.
I got to tell you guys, I could turn that network around in a second.
It's not difficult. They don't want to do it, though.
I know. I just don't understand what they're doing. I don't understand what they're doing.
CNN, they don't have an alpha male. Who do they have? Anderson Cooper, who looks like he just donated 3 gallons of blood. Wolf Blitzer's ready to croak at any moment. They don't have any flamethrowers. Yeah. Find a dude with a backbone and an opinion and put him on in prime time.
But it's funny that you say you're making it like a gender thing.
That's what I think it is. They have all beta males.
It's not. It's not at all. But that's a problem with a perception. But I think that it has to do with talent and authenticity.
Well, that too.
And so that talent, authenticity, and smarts. So you mentioned, for example, Rachel Maddow. So you may not like her,
right?
But she is smart. She is funny. She's much more likable, and she's authentic. She's consistent with who she is. The moment that she's inconsistent or starts saying stupid, maybe that's a word that we may parse, you know, over as stupid stuff. But I'm saying she's an intelligent woman. She makes good arguments. She gets good interviews. And her audience likes her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, but if you look at their lineup, yeah, the at 7 o'clock weeknights, I don't even know who this is. Alicia Menendez.
No clue.
And Michael Steele, we know who he is. It's 7. But they have Arby Melber at 6 p.m., Chris Hayes at 8.
Yeah, it's a bunch of
Lawrence O'Donnell 10, Stephanie Ruhle at 11.
Well, what are they doing, Dawn? It's a bunch of low paid. I mean, not low paid compared to us, but it's a bunch of big contract people that
no
are just
superstars
sticking in there because they don't know what to do.
I mean, you can say what you want about Fox, but I think Fox does a good job of regular reporting, straight news people, you know, earlier in the morning, you know, Bill Hemmer is just giving you nuts and bolts. Brett Baer, good interview, gives you the nightly news. And then you have your opinion people, the Jesse Waters of the world, the Will Canes. You have your comedians and Gutfeld and Jimmy Fallon. They have a nice variety of different skill sets of talent.
Yep.
Whereas everything with CNN and MSNBC is... No wonder nobody watches. At least entertain me.
I saw the 2554 demo. They had 55,000 viewers.
I got more people in the 7 o'clock hour for that.
Saki. That's Saki. She had 55,000 viewers nationwide. There's 350 million people in this country. 55,000.
Yes.
50. She couldn't even fill up the link.
Right. And not every White House correspondent that is paid to track Trump like Caitlin Collins.
Yeah.
Translates the primetime host.
Agreed.
Not every Dana Perino ends up being Dana Perino.
Yep.
Like, she's found a way going from Bush's secretary to a good TV career. Saki, you know, maybe a once a week show, but primetime 5 nights a week?
Yeah.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.